Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I'm a student at Montgomery C. Smith. I'm also from Hudson.
Yay!
Yay! Yay!
And we're so excited to have Lena joining us this week, a new member of Bound by Books. Yay!
Yay.
Quiet mic clapping. But we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things.
Mm-hmm. All bookworms.
That. Bookworms. We haven't talked about bookworms yet.
No, we haven't, actually.
Would you like to talk about bookworms?
Yes.
Do you know anything about bookworms?
Yes, they always read books and they have glasses or no glasses on.
Scientifically proven.
I mean, I should wear glasses, but I don't.
Wait, why don't you wear glasses ever?
Because I'm always scared I'm going to lose them.
Contacts?
No, I can't put things near my eyes.
Terrifying.
Oh, I'm scared. Yes.
I wear sunglasses sometimes.
Yeah.
But not prescription ones. But I am a bookworm.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
But I'm not a worm.
That'd be a bit strange.
Fun fact. Yeah. But yeah, so we're going to talk about some books today because that's what we do. Maybe we'll start with Lena since she's new to us.
Oh no, you guys can start first.
Well, what kind of books do you like?
I like comic books or the books kind of like Dork Diaries.
Mm-hmm. So with some kind of pictures in them at least, even if not a comic book.
Yeah. I like ones where they get right to the chase or they're like, oh, and this is Chloe and Zoe and they stuck up for me. Yeah. And ones with drama. Mm-hmm. But currently right now I'm reading Share Your Smile. You get to write and draw in this book, and it'll, like, show little parts of the scenes, and it'll explain, like, step one, blah, blah, blah. But my favorite part is step 8, the cover, because you get to see the covers, that the ideas of the covers for Smile.
Mm-hmm. I remember Smile.
Yeah.
I prefer drama.
Amelia
exponentially
is
to Smile.
Horrified by the teeth.
I'm not a teeth person. Smile freaked me out. Smile freaks me out still. I can't.
I prefer Sisters because it's relatable with me and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw her new book called Guts.
Oh yeah, that one just came out.
I think I'd still prefer that one to Smile.
We were just talking about Smile on the show recently and how idea of dentistry and dental pain is not fun to read about. Although I loved Smile, so I'm not with Amelia on that one.
Mm.
But I did love drama.
Probably be kind of like Raina, I think is how you pronounce her name.
Yeah, Raina Telgemeier.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was Telgemeier.
Close.
Yeah.
And you've read a bunch of Raina Telgemeier, right?
Yeah.
Which one's your favorite of all of her books that you've read? The current
share
one?
Share Your Smile, because you need to share it.
So you like the message of the book?
Yeah.
That's cool that it's like a little workbook.
Yeah.
So it's probably not one you would borrow from a library, because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, that'd be a bit redundant.
Yeah. It could be fun if people just did select stuff in it, and so it was a shared book that had, like, somebody filled out this page and someone filled out that page.
Huh. Or they could be like, hey kids, come over here and write your name, and we'll
a signature book. I want like a signature book. I saw one of those at a concert once for a tribute band.
You could
write your signature in there.
Yeah.
I have a signature backpack from the Harlem Wizards basketball game.
Awesome. What books did you bring, Amelia?
I finished Fallout literally today.
Mm-hmm.
And
did it hold up?
Kinda. I mean, I'm afraid if it had gone on any longer, it probably just would have made me really, really depressed. But it ended relatively happily. It still holds up because it was like interesting with the point of view switching between after the bomb drop and before the bomb drop.
Yeah, so to catch our listeners and Lena up, the book is set in the 60s.
1962.
And the family of the main character has a fallout shelter underground, and that there's part of the book they're building that fallout shelter, and then part of it is after a bomb has dropped and they're living in the fallout shelter.
Yeah.
And I just learned last week on the show that the lights have gone out in the fallout shelter, and that's terrifying to me.
Wait, like in real life?
Well, it's a made-up story.
It's set in the during the Cold War when the Russians and the U.S. both had atomic bombs. And this takes place in a reality where those bombs are actually dropped instead of, like, a general ceasefire happening between the two countries.
What's a ceasefire?
Come on, AP U.S. history knowledge, come back to me. I don't even know if that's the right word.
Makes sense. It's
basically, they agreed that, hey, if we actually drop these bombs, things are going to get wrecked all over, so let's not do that.
Yeah,
and just basically kind of chill.
Wait, so, like, it was Americans versus Russia?
It could have almost been considered World War III if, like, it had actually gone down.
Oh, no.
And this takes place in, you know, a world where that did happen and the bombs were dropped. And then I'm also reading for school. I started reading A Thousand Splendid Suns by Khaled Hosseini, I think. Who also wrote The Kite Runner, which I haven't ever read, but I'm reading this currently, which is very interesting.
Yeah. Both of those books are very popular.
And I'm actually reading ahead in it, which I'm not really supposed to do when it's a school book, but, you know, it's really good.
Yeah. Well, that's good that you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
I guess there's worse things you could do than read ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to be that one person in high school who just reads the whole entire book at night, like, for the whole entire night, because I finish my books really fast.
Yeah. Mm. I look forward to hearing about that one.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting so far.
I finished a book over the weekend. I'd been reading, and I've talked about it a little bit on the show before, Pan's Labyrinth, The Labyrinth of the Faun by Guillermo del Toro and Cornelia Funke, or it might be Funky.
Funky?
I forget, when I was listening to the audiobook at one point, and they pronounced it differently than I've always pronounced it, and I can't remember how they pronounced it. But I've always known it as Funke, but I think that might not be right. Although audiobook readers sometimes get names wrong, so we'll see. But it's based on a movie from 2006 called Pan's Labyrinth, which was a sort of fairy tale horror drama film. And this is it's a YA adaptation of the movie. And it's pretty true to the movie, although it adds elements. And I think the fairy tale aspect is really strong in the book. It's strong in the movie, too, but the book sort of develops some of the fantasy world a little bit more through little stories that it inserts throughout the book. So some of, especially if you liked the movie, some of the characters that you meet that you don't really learn much about, you get like added content on their backstory.
So, like, basically what he thought, like, about them, and after the movie, like...
Like, I don't think it's a continuation. I think it's just a novel version.
Yeah, so it's a novel version of the movie, but I've actually it adds some to it.
I've never seen Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, I
really... But my dad does have the movie.
I know there are some pretty dark moments in the movie and that I remembered because they... You know, sometimes those moments stick with you the most. And so I recently realized that the movie is also rated R. So probably.
Oh, I wasn't aware. I actually wasn't aware of that.
And the book does have dark moments as well. It doesn't, you know, shy away from those. But I think somehow it's a little different reading it than watching it. But I think it holds up. Like, I think both are very strong. I actually rewatched the movie last night. I finished the book and then I rewatched the movie. Because I hadn't seen it since 2006, and both are very strong. Like, I wouldn't suggest necessarily one over the other or which order to read them in. But if you saw the movie years ago like I did and want to sort of dive into it again, I highly suggest the book.
Guillermo del Toro does some really, really good and creepy work, and whether it's, like, a fantastical movie or a horror movie. Like, most recently, I think he worked on... the movie adaptation of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which I gush about a lot, which was very, very strong and good for a PG-13 horror movie. It was very well done.
Yeah.
I want to see that movie because my sister read the book, you know, so I want to see that part in the movie where little Jimmy, or I can't remember his name, went to, like, I'm not going to give any spoilers, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But little Jimmy does something.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember a character named Jimmy.
But
so
maybe
I...
it was somebody. Maybe the name changed.
Maybe.
I'll have to save. They didn't put all the stories in.
Oh, no, they didn't. They put in four. They put in Harold, the Big Toe, the Red Spot, and I don't remember what this one was called, but the one with the Pale Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the Red Room, that the Pale Woman in the Red Room was the one that I remember.
Well, speaking of the Pale Woman,
and actually,
the Pale Man in Pan's Labyrinth was in there. That's the creepy guy that you know of from
previous.
Oh,
the one with the eyes on his palms.
Yeah. Oh, and one thing I didn't mention is this book is illustrated. So it's not a it's not a picture book, it's not a graphic novel, but it has kind of like how some chapter books have occasional really beautiful pictures in them.
Ooh.
It has that. So that was really fun because I started reading the book and then I had a road trip this weekend, so I listened to the rest of it. So before I returned the book to the library, I peeked at all the pictures because I didn't want to miss out on that. And the pictures are really beautiful. They're in black and white.
Huh.
And very good. And it includes the Pale Man. But yeah, so the story's set in Spain right after the Civil War. And there's those that were defeated. There's some rebels living up in the woods. And the main character is a young girl who's moved to the woods with her mother, who's pregnant, and her stepfather, who is a captain, who is off to seek out the rebels and get rid of them. And he's not a good man. And she is, so she's living there in the woods with her mother and new stepfather and the other people that are part of that sort of brigade. And one night she follows a fairy out into a labyrinth and down into a well, and she encounters a faun who tells her that she's the long-lost Princess Moana, and that...
Wait, Moana?
Yeah, not the one from
this
Disney.
This is made before Moana's Disney.
Oh, okay. She's, a princess from long ago who had died, but her soul has returned to Earth, and if she wants to join her family in the kingdom underground, that she has three tasks that she has to do. And so she's going on these adventures trying to complete these three tasks while her mother is not well. She's pregnant, but her health is not strong. So she's trying to survive and give birth to the baby brother. And then Captain Vidal, her stepfather, is trying to hunt down the rebels in the woods. And then there's a person that works for the captain who is connected with the rebels and is trying to help them secretly.
Hmm.
What's a faun?
It's like part...
What's the one's name in Narnia?
And part human?
What's that one's name in Narnia?
Or ram and human, I can't remember.
It's like...
But it's like a part horned and hooved animal.
Like a satyr.
Oh, and part human.
Yeah.
True story. Except not true story, because they're not real.
Yeah.
Except in my books.
Sad.
But yeah, so it's a pretty dark story, but it's also really sort of magical and beautiful.
It's kind of like Labyrinth, which has some weird moments in it, too.
I'd say it's darker than Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely darker than Labyrinth. Labyrinth has David Bowie in a glam rock section of it, which is strange, but very fun.
Yeah. But moving on from that dark, dark fantasy fairy tale to some light fare. So I'm currently reading Best Friends by Shannon Hale and Liyuan Pham, and it's a comic book, graphic novel. And it's a follow-up to Real Friends, which was the first book in the series that was very good. Have you read Real Friends?
Yeah, I have that at my house, and I didn't know that she was going to make, like, a sequel to it.
Yeah. So this is the next one. So now she's in sixth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's entering sixth grade, and so now she's at that's, like, the top grade in the school. So now they're, like...
Queens?
Yeah, they're the queens of the school now.
Yeah.
And so it's further exploring her friendships with her crew of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun. I mean, it's also a little, it kind of reminds you of some of the not as great times from middle school.
Yeah.
You know, when people aren't always nice, even then they're friends. And so that's interesting, but it still manages to be very light.
Yeah.
You will probably want to read this one.
I was actually sitting in the book section and reading it in Walmart.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I still have books from the book fair I have to read. I'm sorry. I just very suddenly realized that. And now, because I finished Fallout, I can, like, grab another one of those. Because Fallout was a book fair book.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished it, and I felt so accomplished. I'm like, man,
yes.
I've actually finished a book from the book fair in the same year that I've gotten it. And then I remembered all the other ones I have. And I was like, oh, no. There's so much more. I think I might read Star-Crossed next, but I don't remember what author that was from.
Is that Barbara D?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think that's...
Possibly.
I could be wrong. Look it up. Okay, so I think now we're going to move on to sharing some books that are coming out that we think sound really great. I'll start off with one called 13 Doorways, Wolves Behind Them All by Laura Ruby, who is the author of Bone Gap, which we read for Battle of the Books 3 years ago, I think, 2 years ago. And here's the description. When Frankie's mother died and her father left her and her siblings at an orphanage in Chicago, it was supposed to be only temporary, just long enough for him to get back on his feet and be able to provide for them once again. That's why Frankie's not prepared for the day that he arrives for his weekend visit with a new woman on his arm and out-of-state train tickets in his pocket. Now Frankie and her sister Toni are abandoned alongside so many other orphans, two young, unwanted women doing everything they can to survive. And as the embers of the Great Depression are kindled into the fires of World War II, and the shadows of injustice, poverty, and death walk the streets in broad daylight, it will be up to Frankie to find something worth holding on to in the ruins of this shattered America. Every minute of every day spent wondering if the life she's able to carve out will be enough. And then there's a little note that says, I will admit I do not know the answer, but I will be watching, waiting to find out. That's what ghosts do. I'm not really sure what that means.
It's ominous a bit.
Yeah.
And this was a, this book was not long-listed for the National Book Award for this year. Ooh. So whether it will make the short list, I don't know yet. But that's 13 Doorways, Wolves Behind Them All by Laura Ruby.
I just noticed that this thing by Marie Lu is a Batman story, and all my dreams are coming true right now.
Yay! Success.
It's Batman Nightwalker, DC Icons number 2 by Marie Lu. Before he was Batman, he was Bruce Wayne, a reckless boy willing to break the rules for a girl who may be his worst enemy. The Nightwalkers are terrorizing Gotham City, and Bruce Wayne is next on their list. One by one, the city's elites are being executed as their mansion's security systems turn against them, trapping them like prey. Meanwhile, Bruce is turning 18 and about to inherit his family's fortune, not to mention the keys to the Wayne Enterprises and all the tech gadgetry his heart could ever desire. But after a run-in with the police, he's forced to do community service at Arkham Asylum, the infamous prison that holds the city's most brutal criminals. Madeline Wallace is a brilliant killer and Bruce's only hope. In Arkham, Bruce meets Madeline, a brilliant girl with ties to the Nightwalkers. What is she hiding, and why will she speak only to Bruce? Madeline is the mystery Bruce must unravel, but is he getting her to divulge her secrets, or is he feeding her the information she needs to bring Gotham City to its knees? Bruce will walk the dark line between trust and betrayal as the Nightwalkers circle closer. That's really cool. And yeah. It says number 2, so I might have to read number 1 first, but I'm really excited.
I wonder if it's, because it's DC Icons number 2, I wonder if DC Icons number 1 was a different character.
Maybe.
Because yeah. There have been some other graphic novels coming out recently that are from DC that their authors are major YA authors, young adult authors.
Ooh.
So maybe we'll have to see. You want to share one?
Sunny Rolls the Dice, Sunny Number 3 by Jennifer L. Holm and Matthew Holm. Too cool for school. For the least groovy girl in the grade. Sunny's just made it to middle school, and it's making her life very confusing. All her best friend, Deb, wants to talk about fashion, makeup, boys, and being cool. Sunny's not against any of these things, but she also doesn't understand why suddenly everything revolves around them. She's much more comfortable when she's in her basement playing Dungeons and Dragons, yes.
Yes.
With a bunch of new friends, because when you're sword fighting a spider slaying, it's hard to worry about whether you're going to look cool or not, especially when it's your turn to roll the 20-sided die.
Whoa.
Trying hard to be cool can make you feel really uncool. And it's much more fun to have fun.
True story.
I wish I could play Dungeons and Dragons.
Maybe you can.
I don't know how to play. My brother's never taught me.
Neither do I, but I've somehow been wrapped into a campaign at my school, so I guess I'm there now.
Might be a Dungeons and Dragons club starting up at the library. So maybe you could join that.
Can they teach me?
Yeah, that's the whole
I'm going point. To make my brother join, so he has to teach me. He's going to only be here for special days and only on, what's it called? Summer?
What's like it called? The whole summer.
What a mood.
What yeah. is that called?
What's it called?
So next up, I have The Secret Commonwealth, The Book of Dust number 2 by Philip Pullman. So that's the second Book of Dust book, which is part of Philip Pullman's companion novels, I would call them, to his Dark Materials series. Hmm. And so Book of Dust number 1 takes place before that other trilogy, and then this one takes place after that trilogy.
Oh.
And here's the description. It is 20 years since the events of La Belle Sauvage, The Book of Dust, Volume 1, unfolded, and saw the baby, Lyra Belacqua, begin her life-changing journey. It is 7 years since readers left Lyra and the love of her young life, Will Perry, on a park bench in Oxford's Botanic Gardens at the end of the groundbreaking bestselling, His Dark Materials sequence. Now, in The Secret Commonwealth, we meet Lyra Silvertongue, and she is no longer a child. The second volume of Sir Philip Pullman's The Book of Dust sees Lyra, now 20 years old, and her demon, Pantalaimon, forced to navigate their relationship in a way they could never have imagined, and drawn into the complex and dangerous factions of a world that they had no idea existed. Pulled along on his own journey, too, is Malcolm, once a boy with a boat and a mission to save a baby from the flood, now a man with a strong sense of duty and a desire to do what is right. Theirs is a world at once familiar and extraordinary, and they must travel far beyond the edges of Oxford, across Europe and into Asia, in search for what is lost. A city haunted by demons, a secret at the heart of a desert, and the mystery of the elusive dust.
Ooh. What was the original book called?
Well, there was The Golden Compass, The Subtle Knife, and The Amber Spyglass were the first three books. And then the Book of Dust series, the first one was called La Belle Sauvage.
Oh.
So the first three, I forget how old Lyra was in that, but she was a tween or teen. And then the Book of Dust featured her as a baby, and now this one features her as an adult. So you get a little bit of her life through all this and all her adventures. So I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
Do you have another one?
Oh, yes, I do. Now entering Adamsville by Francesca Zappia, Nora Novak has been framed. When someone burns down the home of the school janitor and he dies in the blaze, everyone in Adamsville, Indiana, points the finger at Zora. Never mind that Zora has been on the straight and narrow since her father was thrown in jail. With everyone looking for evidence against her, her only choice is to uncover the identity of the real killer. There's only one problem. Zora has no leads. No one does. Adamsville has a history of tragedy, and 30 years ago, a similar string of fires left several townspeople dead. The arsonist was never caught. Now, Zora must team up with her cousin, Artemis, an annoying self-proclaimed Adamsville historian, to clear her name. But with a popular ghost-hunting television show riling up the townspeople, almost no support from her family and friends, and rumors spinning out of control, things aren't looking good. Zora will have to read between the lines of Adamsville ghost stories before she becomes one herself.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Now I want to make... Makes me want to sing Spooky Scary Skeleton now. Yeah. The Dark Lord Clementine by Sarah Jean Horwitz. A new face of big evil is a little... small. Dastardly deeds aren't exactly the first things that come in mind when one hears Clementine. But as the sole heir of the infamous Dark Lord Elithor, 12-year-old Clementine Morris has been groomed since birth to be the best, worst, evil overlord she can be, but everything changes the day the Lord Elithor is cursed by a mysterious rival. Now Clementine must not only search for a way to break the curse, but also take on a full responsibilities of the Dark Lord. As Clementine forms her first friendships, discovers more about her own magic than she ever dared to explore, and is called upon to break her father's code of good and evil, she starts to question the very life she's been fighting for. What if the Dark Lord Clementine doesn't want to be dark after all?
I love the Dark Lord Clementine.
I love that title. Oh my gosh.
So fun. But yeah, so those are a handful of books coming out this month.
Cool.
That sound very good. There's so many books coming out this month that I want to read. I don't know what to do. I guess I have to read them.
Yes.
It's the only thing to do. But if these sound interesting to you, be sure to check them out.
Yeah.
And we're out of time for today, but we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a good week. Happy reading.
Bye.
Happy reading.